us to graduate from college. You've allowed us to stay happily married. You've worked out friction in our relationships. You've put money in our bank accounts. You forgave us and forgave us.
My God, my God.
God, you are.
My God, my God. My God,
take this preaching on.
My God.
And you let us realize that we can do all things through you.
My God. My God.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
That's what he said.
Amen. Genesis chapter 17, verse 6. Just one verse, remain standing if you don't mind. For the reading of God, you sit right back down. Genesis chapter 17, verse 6. I want to thank all of you while we're doing this. I see a couple of college graduates out there in the audience. Amen. New nurses. Come on, these new nurses are out there. Amen. The McMurray family is back there. Just taking all the UTMB's money and anybody else that'll give them some money. Amen. It's good to get paid for what you're passionate about. Amen. Amen. Good, good. I see my buddy Darrell back there too. And let me tell you, he made sure that if he had to work 23 hours a day, his wife was going to graduate. Amen. I give that good man a round of applause. Genesis chapter 17, verse 6. Please keep my wife in prayer. She's streaming online right now. Our son has 102-degree fever, but she has her cancer surgery next Friday. She's been diagnosed, and they're going to remove cervical cancer from her. The surgery's Friday. So she's been in good spirits, but prayers are always appropriate. Amen. Genesis chapter 17, verse 6. I believe we're going to preach today. Reads as follows. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee. Here's what I want you to focus on all day long. And kings shall come out of thee. Thank you. You may be seated. And kings shall come out of you. Times I've said that I want to speak with you on the subject, expect great things. Expect great things. Have you ever been doubted? I mean, have you ever had a dream that was on the inside? You knew what you were supposed to do, yet everybody around you couldn't see it the way you saw it. Have you ever been doubted? I mean, have you ever said that you were going to go to school and graduate, but everybody around you told you how you couldn't do it, how you was not going to do it, how you act just like your daddy, look just like your daddy, think just like your daddy, and your daddy wasn't nothing, and therefore you can't be nothing either? Have you ever been doubted? I mean, the kind of doubt from somebody that's willing to be transparent and say that not only have I been doubted, but the whole right side of my family still doubts me today. Have you ever been doubted? Have you ever had a dream? You said you want to start some network marketing business, and you said, you know what, I know 100 people, I'm certainly going to do good at this. And the moment you told them what you wanted to do, they said something similar to, when you make money, then I'll join your business. I wish I had some folk out there that's actually been doubted a time or two. Or what about when you decided that you was going to stop loving somebody because you found out that the more you loved them, the more it was painful for you. And you said, you're going to work on me. I'm going to work on me in 2000, whatever it was, in 1999, whatever it was. And you said, I'm going to go back to school. And the moment you opened up your school books, he or she started arguing. You wanted to do something right for yourself, only to realize that the person you were with didn't want to do right by you at all. And matter of fact, you had all these dreams, and every time that you tried to tell them your dreams, you were met with negativity. And you were so happy, so on top of the world, and they literally forced you to the arms of somebody else because they refused to have their arms open for you. Have you ever been doubted? I mean, the kind of doubts in which you walk in here on this Sunday afternoon, and everybody knows that you got all the potential in the world, yet everybody else seems to not believe in anything that you do. Have you ever been doubted? Now that we've set the stage, now that you feel bad and you recognize how you can be doubted, allow for me to bring you some good news. Because not only can you be doubted, but in the same manner in which you can be doubted, the Lord still believes in you. No matter how much you've done, no matter what you've done bad, no matter what you've done, the more you do bad by Him, the more He could punish you, but He loves you even more. I wish I had one or two people in the building who would just testify with me that every now and then I get sickness in my body, I get low self-esteem in my head, but I thank God that He'll love me past my fault and supply all my needs. Is there anybody in the building willing to testify that God loves me so much that no matter what I'm going through, He'll show up even when I don't have faith? And it's amazing how God will look at your situation and decide to jump in your situation so you can get out of your situation. Doesn't that make you feel good? Have you ever had a situation where you didn't know how you was going to get out of it and you complained your whole way through only to realize that you were out of it and didn't even realize it? And that was God showing up in your situation. You didn't know how you was going to do it. You thought it was the worst day of your life only to find out that God has still been good. Is there anybody who would just make a little bit of noise in here and testify that my God is good? My mama died, my grandmother died. Everybody thought I wouldn't go make it, but look at me now. I've been to jail one or two or three or four times, but look at me now. I know you don't like the first half of my story, but the Lord has turned the page. You can keep on doubting me, but when God put His hands on me, He'll believe me past my pain. It's right here in the middle of this text in which we find this Abram guy. He's not Abraham just yet. But before we get to Genesis chapter 17, you have to find out in Genesis chapter 12, the story of Abram exists. Not only does 12 become before 17, you need to know that before he was Abraham, before he was the father of all nations, he was just a regular dude. Listen, let me tell you something right now. Don't despise your small beginnings. Before he saved the world through his seed, don't despise the fact that you are right where you are. And you're right where you are, and the Lord can use you exactly where you are. Somebody just missed their whole shout cue. That's all right. Because you've been sitting here right now thinking to me. You've been listening to me for about 5 minutes via this introduction. I haven't quite got to the text yet, but you can't shout for nothing because you ain't quite understand how good God actually is. God loves you so much that you can have a bad credit score. You can have a whole bunch of credit card debt. You can have low self-esteem, and He'll still get you to wherever you need to be, even if where you currently are is completely your fault. And I just thought that should have made somebody shout right there, because God is just that good. You want to be a lawyer, doctor, whatever you want to be, don't worry about it. Just get next to the Lord and watch Him work some stuff out on you. And if you got some stuff affecting you that you're doing yourself, the closer you get to Him, the more that stuff on you will fall off. So here's what you understand. Here's Abram, he's sitting here, he's having a good time, he's minding his own business, and the Lord calls him to do something that all of you need to learn how to start doing. Point number one, here's what he does. In order for you to expect great things, you need to leave average people. I know this one's gonna hurt a little bit. Amen. Abram was called by God, and God told him, listen, I'm gonna need for you to go from your home. I need you to go. I need you to get out of here because the people you are around are gonna stop what I'm trying to give to you. Did you catch what I just said? You got some folk around you. I'm not saying they're bad people, but what I am saying is they're bad for your future. Somebody gonna catch this third time, right? Here's how it works. It's some folk in your life, they real good, they give people, they do good things, they take care of their family, their mama, whatever it is. But just because they're good people does not mean they're good for you. And I wish I had somebody in the building who can testify that everybody in your life is not going to get you to the next level. And if you're trying to graduate, if you're trying to get whatever you're trying to get to, if you want to expect great things, you need to leave some average people. Some folk don't love the Lord the way you love them. Some folk don't love you the way you love them. And if you spending all your time making everybody else around you better, and all you're doing is getting worse, you need a new circle. Do you mind if I go ahead and walk this thing here? If you spend all your time making everybody else supreme, and here you are, a McDonald's chicken nugget sandwich, then you need to work it out and recognize that you putting everybody else on and taking away from yourself. See, when the Lord blesses, it's never in subtraction. Even when he subtracts from your life, it's still adding to the quality of your life. Somebody missed what I just said. Lord have mercy. God's not just trying to change your life. He's trying to change the quality of your life. And some folk are messing up the quality of your life. Some folk only want to get you into trouble and they're not trying to get you into happily married. I wish I had somebody that you understand that the moment I got married, I had to drop some of my friends because either they wanted me to do something I wasn't supposed to be doing or they had an eye on what they wasn't supposed to be having their eye on. And all I'm trying to do is tell you that you need to learn how to leave some folk in the dust. This is what Abram had to do. The first thing God said, I have a future for you. Your future is great, but your future is not where you are. Okay, let me drop some real talk on you. Here's how it works. Your great things in your life are not happening in your comfort zone. And most people, you're so comfortable being comfortable that you don't realize that you're uncomfortable. Because you've been uncomfortable your entire life. You were born into this world with an uncomfortable birth. And as soon as you start cutting teeth, that was uncomfortable. And as soon as your bones start growing, that was uncomfortable. And you've gotten so used to being uncomfortable, you've convinced yourself it's comfortable. And now you're in your comfort zone being uncomfortable and wondering why you got to rob Peter to pay Paul. When the Lord wants to shift you to a new level, you have to move from where you are. Imagine, if you will, the car that you drove here on today. And your car, if the transmission is shifts, what you don't know is there's a controlled explosion inside your engine. And it literally sparks a fire, and it jump starts your engine. And each time the transmission shifts, the engine and the transmission violently shakes just a little bit and gets you to your destination. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. Even though shifts are violent, that necessary. Who do you have around your life in which you need to shift from? So if you want to be more than average, if you want to die and have all the generations of your family remember you instead of just two, if you don't remember your great-great-great-grandmother's death or who she is, you need to change your circle. If you're the king of your circle or the queen of your circle, you need to change your circle. If you're the smartest person or you make the most money around, you need to change your circle. Am I getting, is this getting across right now? You need to think about who you are and recognize who you are may not be conducive to who you are around. Some of the folk in your life are only there to get you to a certain level. It does not mean be rude to these people. It doesn't mean be negative. It simply means I have to now start loving you where you are, but I have to move to a different direction. And so Abram gets this here, and on the whim of faith, with no textual doctrine, with no anything, no Levitical sacrificial system, no Mosaic law, no anything, he believes in what God has said. If you haven't gotten to the point in your life to where you can't believe that God is actually good, you're going to stick right where you are. Because you're going to have to learn how to be smart enough to have faith and dumb enough to have faith at the same time. At some point, you have to be smart enough to know, you know what, I got to work this out. If the Lord ain't going to do it, it just ain't going to get there. Excuse my colloquialism, I apologize for that. But sometimes you got to talk to people they don't understand. Here's how it works. You have to say, Lord, if you don't do it, it's just not going to get done. That's intelligence. Then you have to go and be dumb and go, you know what? I don't see how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to be foolish enough to believe in what he said. I wish I had somebody out there just testify with me that I got some stuff in my life. I got a brand new house in my life, brand new car in my life, and I didn't see how I was going to get it, but I kept walking forward in ignorance, and I believe in the Lord showed the way for me. You ought to be able to shout right there wherever you are, at least on the inside, and say that I'm on my way somewhere. You may not like where I'm at. You may be judging where I'm at, but I promise you, if you catch me 2 years from now, you're going to show enough respect what I just told you in this moment. There has to be somebody in this building who can testify that I'm on my way somewhere. Doesn't matter if you doubt me, I know a man that died with holes in his hand that believed in me, and he'll carry me even if I fall.
That's right.
And so you have to understand that if you're going to expect great things, then you need to definitely leave average people and average things alone. Everybody is not worthy of your good energy. Guard yourselves from energy leaks. You only have so much. And energy can never be created, it can never be destroyed. And you need to stop letting people siphon from you the good stuff, and you don't have nothing else left. Let me give you an illustration on that. Imagine yourself as a cup. And here's how you do. Here's how your friends are right now. You're already on empty. And the moment they call you, they take whatever it is in your cup and they take it from you. Now you got to go your 9 to 5 on an empty cup. Wondering why? Somebody asks you, what's wrong? I don't even know. Girl, I don't know what's wrong. I just feel this way. You ever had one of those days? That's because your cup is empty. And you didn't spend enough alone time with the Lord to let him fill you up. And so you can't overflow because you're not next to any positive source. And over for a day or two, for a week or two, and some of you for a decade or two, your cup has been empty and empty and empty, and you wonder why the moment you get home, you're too tired to even play with your kids. Because some people, all they do is take from your cup. But David describes his cup in a different manner. He describes how his cup will run it over with oil. And the reason why a God would make a cup run over is because if your cup is empty, you can put your empty cup next to somebody that has overflow and get you a head start right there. You should be having a shout to yourself going on because you got some stuff in your life that you don't deserve. But somebody was like, I don't know what it is about you, but won't you go ahead and come to me? Somebody was like, I'm going to just pull him or her under my wing. I got a job interview for you. Just go ahead and pass the job. Make sure you can pass the drug test, Lord have mercy. And make sure you can pass a job and I'll hook you up. There has to be somebody smart enough to realize that God is still good. And so here's the deal. So here's his Abram. He goes out and he walks off. And we discovered this last week. He walks off, he believes in the Lord, and the Lord goes silent on him. And God goes silent on him, and he still believes. Does that sound like you today? Because you know, we don't like a silent God. We don't like when he's silent on us. That's not how we like it. Like, God, I prayed to you, and you need to go ahead and work this out. Now, I'm talking to you. You should be talking to me. Okay, let me talk to my married folks. I'm talking about married folks. Now, you're not going to sit here and ignore me. Amen. I wish I had somebody. I'm talking to you. You look at me when I'm talking to you. Don't you turn your back on me. We treat God the same way. But sometimes God's trying to grow us in his silence. Sometimes he needs to separate or seem like he separated himself from us so we can grow in our situations. And stop trying to be so weak and not wanting to grow in pain. So not just that. But then here's what you need. If you want to expect greatness, then you need to do what Abram did in Genesis chapter 15. If you want to expect greatness, you cannot stare at the things you're missing. See, the Lord told him in Genesis chapter 20, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to take your child and I'm going to save all the nations from your seed. And years later, Abram's going, well, look, God, I ain't got no kids. I continue childless. How can you promise me something and I can't see what it's like? Have you ever been in a place in which you believe, but what you saw in front of you did not match up with the promise the Lord had gave you? I'm going to supposed to be real now. I understand. Amen. I mean, some folk that, you know, I believe, I ain't lost my faith, but I'm showing up losing my patience. Lord have mercy. I feel like maybe I'm speaking to myself today. Amen. Amen. And so I got faith. That's not the problem. But I'm showing up tired of struggling. I wish I had some folk. Amen. I'm tired of helping people who won't help me. And you have to be able to look at the positive and not the negative. See, the negative in this particular situation is Abram was looking at the fact that his promise isn't lining up the way the Lord said it was going to line up. You said I was going to have descendants, but the heir of my legacy is one of my servants from Damascus. Now, I don't mind helping folk, but I don't want to work my hard life and have what I earn go to somebody that's not even kin to me. And so he's looking at this situation, and he's saying, I just can't do it. I believe, but what you're telling me, I can't see. Something like we're saying in the 21st century, Lord, if you're there, won't you give me a sign? Amen. And you have to be able to look past the negativity in your situation, because the more you look at what's wrong, is the more you'll continue to get what's wrong. The more you look at what's wrong, the more you'll move to change. The more your thinking will change, the more your pathology will change. And losers have a pathology. Losers read loser books, watch loser shows, do loser things, go to loser restaurants, eat loser food, and have loser complaints, and all they do is lose. All right, you look at me like you don't know no losers. I wish I had somebody. Amen. Come on now, y'all know I keep it real. Amen. Losers do loser things and get loser results. And how does that start off? By thinking like a loser. I can't see this, so certainly I'm not gonna get it. And the moment you get discouraged, see, that's the trick of the devil. The devil doesn't have to fight you hard. All he has to do is get you to discourage him. And if he doesn't, and if you don't surround yourself with positive people, that discouragement, you'll walk yourself into depression. And the moment you're depressed, it's just about over. If you can't work yourself out of discouragement, you need to get next to somebody who's never discouraged. And when they are discouraged, they got somebody they can call real quick, or a song to put on, or something. You need to be able to work your way past your pain. Because pain will do two things for you. Pain will make you complain and lose. Or pain to give you a legacy that everybody will have to look at and say, now I know exactly what he was talking about. Pain to make you have the greatest idea you've ever had and go work for it. Pain to make you drive 50 miles to school one direction and 50 miles back and graduate. Pain will make sure you never go back to what you used to be. Or pain to make you complain and you have a loser pathology and all you do is lose. The last time I checked, people didn't wake up and say, you know, I just want to lose today. In kindergarten, people didn't go, you know, what's going to be in kindergarten? A crib. That's actually a true story. That really is a true story. If Lynn Daddy was here, he would have died. Amen. We had a friend that actually said I would be a crib. I'm so not joking. I'm not joking. That's a true story. I don't know, and that was like 5 years old, so I don't know what his parents was doing, but they were not doing the right thing. And here's the deal, and that's the deal. Some of our negativity, some of our bad things, it comes from our parents, it comes from our teachings, and it's not that they're doing it on purpose. It just happens. Why? Because our grandmother said something, and their grandmother said something, their grandmother said something, but you have the power to break any curses that have been spoken over you. You have, Lord have mercy, somebody should just, you have the power to break any curse that's ever been spoken over you. You have the power to break any genetic curse. I understand that your daddy drink, your mama drink, and you think you have to be, no, you have the power to break whatever it is, because greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. And finally, Genesis chapter 17, here's what you need to know. I love it, because he says, kings are going to come from you. Listen, at some point, you have to expect great things. Come on, man. Who you are will always be who you are until you change who you are.
Right.
If you don't become what you want to be 10 years from now, right now, you'll never get it. If you want your MBA and you walk around in cut up jeans, how are you gonna meet the person willing to invest in your future if you look like the person they're trying to avoid? Was that real talk? If you want to be a lawyer, then start being a lawyer. Start reading what lawyers read. Start doing what lawyers do. You want to be a nurse, start reading what nurses do, right? Start reading what nurses read. You have to be able to become who you are right now before you get there. Because if you don't, you fool around and get 5 felonies and can't get there because you didn't want to be who you were now because you were so focused. Listen, you don't get what you have in the end and become that. If you can't qualify for your destiny right now, you can't get it right now. You treat your children the same way. You withhold blessings from your children. They have no idea that you got this money set aside to buy them a PS4, whatever it is they asked it for, but their attitude is not correct. You have no idea that you're waiting to bless them, but you don't like the friends they hang around. Wish I had some real parents and get it. And so kids get all upset to go. You're withholding from them, not because you don't love them, but because you love them. And if you give them what is good now, they're gonna squander it on people not worthy of them. Unfortunately, the Lord treats us the same way. He wants to give us these things. He wants to hook us up, but our attitudes are not correct. And the people we hang around are exactly the people he wants us not to be around. It's not saying these people are bad, not saying this with the greatest of respect, but everybody does not deserve you. I'm not trying to talk about you. I'm just simply saying that everybody isn't out for you. Some people don't like the fact that you're doing well, and they talk about you. Not because you're bad, because you're doing well. The moment you went off to college, they said, college boy. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You thought she married now, she don't know us. What's wrong with that? I got married to single. And I don't trust you, but I know what you used to do with that other husband. Yeah, I probably walked too hard on that. I shouldn't say that. Amen. That's probably a little too hard right there. Amen. Somebody here know what I'm talking about, though. That I sure did cut her off. She had to know. Amen. Listen, you have to be able to expect great things. God pulled Abraham out of the crowd and said, kings are going to come from you. Before kings ever came from him. Nearly 20, depending on how you read Genesis, nearly 20, let's go with nearly 2,000 years later, kings finally came out. God has a way of speaking stuff into you well before you can see it. And if you don't believe that, think about 5 years ago. How immature you were compared to today. It's not that you were immature, but who you are now. You would love to go back 5 years ago and say, yeah, I don't hang with her anymore. Well, in the same manner, there are kings that the Lord has spoken into you and come out of you. And everybody in here is amazing. And you don't have to be popular or half naked to be amazing. You can just be amazing. Let me pray for you, Lord. We thank you for who you are, for what you've done. God, you do all things, you do them well. And so kings flow from us, queens flow from us. And if kings flow from us, and if queens flow from us, then I mean kings and queens also flow from our parents. So we're not people who struggle with low self-esteem. That's not us. We're not people who struggle with alcoholism. That's not us. We're not N-words and B-words. That's not us. We're kings and queens. And we can do all things.